Dear God, we come to you right now and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you give us this time every week when we can get together and we can remember Jesus and we can think about him. We can remember how he lived and who he was and who he is. And we can apply that to our lives and we can be different people and we could go out this week and be more like him. Help us, God, as we listen to your word this morning to see Jesus and be drawn to him and become more like him. In his name we pray. Amen. So today we are wrapping up the little three-part series that started right around Christmas of Jesus arrived, and who arrived? Who's the person that arrived? That has been the question we've been answering, and as we've been answering it, we've been looking at three different sides of Jesus' persona, three different sides of who Jesus is, and the first one we saw is that Jesus is the Lamb of God. What we read this morning, Jesus is the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth. And then we saw last week, Jesus is the King. He's the King of the universe. All things were created by him and through him and for him. He's the ruler over all. And today we're going to look at another side of who Jesus is. Who is this Jesus who came, who arrived, whose birth we celebrate, and who we remember every week? And this side of Jesus is going to call us to make a decision of focus, of what we're going to focus on for the rest of this year, the rest of our lives, for the rest of this year at least. And it's a very appropriate thing to look at the beginning of the year. What are we going to focus on? What was Jesus focused on? What did he give his life to? And as we look at what Jesus was focused on, we're going to be pulled and we're going to be called to say, I should be focused on that as well. I should have the same focus that Jesus had as he lived his life, because the truth is, we all live focused on something. This year, we're going to focus our lives on something, one or two things. We're going to do a lot of things, but a couple of things are going to have the bulk of our attention, the bulk of our focus. It's going to be what we think about most of the time, and what we kind of live for, and what makes us happy, and what we invest our spare time and as much as spare money and everything that we possibly can. We're going to focus on one or two things. It might be, for you, it might be sports that you play or that you watch, or entertainment, or whatever you do to have a good time, or maybe your job, or projects, or family, or education. Whatever it is, it's going to be something. As you listen to that list, you might say, well, I'm going to do a lot of those things. We will, but we're going to be focused on one or two things as we go through this next year. And we'll see what we're focused on by what we give ourselves to, what we talk about when we get to choose the subject of the conversation, what we spend our free time and money on, what we dream about when we think about the weekend's almost here and I'm going to be able to. And it'll be something. It's not a question of if you will be focused on something this year, if I'll be focused on something. It's a question of what will we be focused on. And the thing is, if we can start at the beginning, which we are at the beginning of the year, and we think about the end, most of what we will be focused on this year won't really matter. At the end of the year, most of the things that we'll give ourselves to passionately won't really matter. Maybe, probably not at the end of the year, definitely not at the end of our lives, and certainly not 100 years after our lives have ended. And the thing is that Jesus came, when he arrived, and from almost the get-go, he was focused on something. He lived his whole life focused. And it wasn't something that you look back and say, well, that was nice. I mean, he was really into that team, or he was an awesome musician, or but it didn't really matter. No, he was focused on something that actually changed the world. He was focused on something that changed people's eternal destiny, and he offers us the opportunity to focus our lives on something, on the same thing, on something that will change other people's eternal destiny, on something that will matter, not just at the end of this year or the end of our lives, but all of the way into eternity, if we choose to focus our lives on what Jesus was focused on. So what was Jesus focused on? Throughout his whole life, he was focused on rescuing us. So when Jesus came, when he was born, when the Lamb of God and the King of the universe was born, when Jesus came, The rescuer arrived. The one who would rescue us. He arrived. Jesus was focused on rescuing us. He was the great rescuer sent from heaven. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Before we get started with the verses, the same caveat that I gave last week. I brought a Bible up, but it's only to symbolize the scriptures that I copied into my notes. And there's a lot of them, so I'm going to be going fast. So jot them down or flip real fast if you were one of those Bible answer people in elementary school. We'll go fast through them. Next week, we should return to having one passage of scripture we look at for the whole message. But today will be an exception. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Why did God need to be with us? He needed to be with us, look two verses up, to rescue us. In verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Lamb, the King, the Rescuer, he came to rescue us. That's the reason why he came. That's why God had to come. That's why he came. He didn't come because he wanted to take a vacation to earth. No, he came because he had to come to rescue us. He came to rescue his rebellious creation, the creation that rebels since the time of Adam and Eve. He came to rescue humanity from their rebellion against God. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Talking about Jesus, I'll say that once because all the verses are talking that we're going to look at today are talking about Jesus, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us or rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Or flip almost to the end, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseers of your souls. The rescuer came. The rescuer arrived when Jesus was born. And by his life and his death and his resurrection, he rescues us. So how does he rescue us? He rescues us from the effects of our rebellion against God. That's what he rescues us from. He rescues us from something that, as we rebel against God and we're kind of our own bosses of our lives and the own captains of our destiny, something we don't think we need to be rescued from, but in fact we do. He rescues us from the effects of our rebellion against God. We've rebelled against God, and when he rescues us from our own rebellion. He rescues us from the wrath of God that we deserve because we've rebelled against God. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, made perfect before God, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. In the cross, Jesus absorbed the wrath of God in our place, and he gives us his righteousness, his perfect life that we can't live. He rescues us from service to Satan, from the service to the devil. He rescues us from the most cruel master possible, from Satan, the original being who rebelled against God and who now is the master of all those who live in rebellion against God, whether we realize it or not. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work and the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now instead of serving Satan, we can serve God. He rescues us from the slavery to our flesh from the evil desires, our desires that lead us to rebel against God and disobey God, the desires that end up working destruction in our life, the desires to do things and feel things and say things, to live with bitterness, to say mean things, to all of the desires he rescues us from so we don't have to be slaves to our flesh. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. And now we can live as new people with new desires. He rescues us from death, from physical death, and from spiritual death, from hell. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us a victory over death through the promise of our physical resurrection and through the promise of an eternal life with him and his Father. And as he rescues us from the effects of our rebellion, he rescues us by taking us into his kingdom. It's the most beautiful thing. He takes us from where we're at. He didn't just come proclaiming the kingdom of God, but no, he came as the rescuer. And as he talked about the kingdom of God, he promises to take us from where we are and put us into the kingdom of God that he came proclaiming. Look at Colossians 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He rescues us from where we are. He takes us into his kingdom. That means as he rescues us, he rescues us and he takes us into God's family. He rescues us from being isolated and being alone and being on our own. And look at Galatians 3:26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Jesus rescues us, and as he does, God adopts us into his family. And being part of Jesus' kingdom means that we're part of God's family. And if we're part of God's family, as Jesus rescues us, we become God's dearly beloved and accepted children. We don't have to seek or win approval or love. No, Jesus rescues us from seeking other people's approval and love, because through him, God has poured out his grace on us and loves us. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. He's poured out his grace on us. We are fully accepted and fully loved by the Father because Jesus has rescued us. He's rescued us from guilt and fear, from the condemnation that comes because of all the bad things that we've done, all the bad things that we do and will do. Look at Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In his kingdom, we're forgiven, we're innocent, and he makes us, as he rescues us and brings us into his kingdom, he makes us the perfection of God. In spite of the fact that we know that we are far from being the perfection of God, he makes us the perfection of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him, God made Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin. He was perfect, so that in him we might become the righteousness, the perfection of God. He gives us a perfect life. He rescues us from our imperfection. He makes us pure. He makes us perfect. Jesus came to rescue us. And he lived his whole life focused on rescuing people. From the time he was a small child, that was his focus. When he was stayed behind in the temple, when his parents went to Jerusalem and he stayed behind and they came back looking for him. Look at Luke 2:49. Look at what he was focused on. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house or in my father's business, my father's things? He was focused on what he on rescuing people. That's what he came to do, to bring people into the kingdom of God. Or when his disciples came back with food because he was hungry and they left him at a well because he was too tired to go into town with them and get the food, and they came back and he had been talking to a woman and explaining to her how to enter into the kingdom, and she had gone to bring back a whole bunch of other people that would end up entering into the kingdom, people that Jesus was rescuing. And the disciples said, okay, now it's time to eat. And Jesus said, not hungry anymore. Why? Because he was so focused on rescuing people. That was his life. Look at John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. It was his focus during his entire life. And then, even now, it is still his focus. Look at Matthew 16, verse 18. And look at the tense of this verb. I tell you, you are Peter, this is Jesus talking, and on this rock I will build my church, my congregation, my people. This isn't a church building, this is a group of people, the people who are part of my kingdom, who worship my Father, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What did he say? I will build this. This is Jesus' ongoing project. Rescuing people is what Jesus is still focused on even to this day, and it's what he calls us to do as well. See, if we're Christ followers, Jesus calls us to focus our lives primarily and principally not on the Huskers, not on food, not on even family, not on our job or education, not on our stuff or our projects or our hobbies, not on any of that. He calls us primarily to focus our lives on rescuing other people. Look at Matthew 28, verse 18. At the very end of his time on earth, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He gives a summary. He says, this is how you rescue people. You bring them to me. You help them learn how to follow me. You bring them to the moment of decision where they decide to follow me, when they repent and are baptized. And then you teach them as they live their lives how to follow me. You rescue people. That's what you're supposed to be about. If you're my follower, you're supposed to be focused on rescuing other people. He calls us to have the same focus that he did. So if you say, okay, in theory, that sounds good, but how would I live my life focused on rescuing people? I see what Jesus did. I'm not him. How do I live my life focused on rescuing people? Well, we do it by focusing on by doing the same things that Jesus did. How did Jesus rescue people? That's how we rescue people. Jesus rescued people by spending time with people who were far from God. Over and over again, he was criticized for what? Hanging out with people who were far from God. Look at Luke 15, verse 1. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. The Pharisees, the scribes, the religious people grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Or when he found Zacchaeus in Luke 19, verse 7, he went to his house, and when he saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. We imitate Jesus and we rescue people by spending time with people who need to be rescued, by opening our lives up this year to people who are far from God, by having people in our home and in our house and in our lives who are far from God and who are going to do things that we're going to have to tell our kids, that's not the way. Don't do that. Don't say that. We're helping rescue those people. And then Jesus didn't just spend time with those people. He talked to them about the kingdom and about the gospel. He explained to them how the kingdom works. He proclaimed the kingdom. We do the same thing. That's why we're supposed to be offering to study with people and asking people, would you study the Bible with me? Would you read the Bible with me? Could we sit down and read the Bible? That's why we're supposed to, as we talk, we're supposed to be looking for ways to not in a weird way, not in a throw a tract in your face way, but in the conversation as important issues are discussed, find a way to work the gospel and explaining what life is really about and how God is the king of the universe and we've rebelled against him and we have to be reconciled to him and how we can be reconciled to him in Christ, working that into our conversation, explaining the gospel like Jesus did constantly. And then Jesus rescued people by asking them to make a decision. He was always saying, follow me. He was always bringing people to a point of decision and saying, make a decision, follow me. And that's what we're supposed to do as well. We rescue people by helping them, by showing them what it means to make the decision to follow Jesus, to give themselves to the Lord by repenting and being baptized. That's how you make the decision. We help people, rescue people by asking, well, what's stopping you from doing that? And by pleading with people, make the decision. Give yourself to Jesus. Repent and be baptized. Be rescued. And lastly, Jesus rescued people by sacrificing himself. He sacrificed his whole life. And even at the end of his life, he died sacrificing himself to rescue us. And if we're going to be like Jesus and this year be focused on rescuing people, we're going to have to sacrifice ourselves, our comfort, our time, our resources, the things we would like to do in order to rescue other people. The rescuer arrived. So what should we do? We should respond to his call to be rescued and to rescue other people. He invites all of us, and not just at the beginning of the year, all the time. He invites all of us to be rescued, to be rescued and to rescue other people. But the question for us at the beginning of this year is, will you respond to Jesus' call? Will I respond to Jesus' call to be rescued and to rescue other people now, for this year, right now, in this time in our lives? Will we give ourselves to that for this year? And maybe for you, responding to that call is deciding, I will let Jesus rescue me. Because you can't rescue other people until you have been rescued. And Jesus invites you, and I invite you to let Jesus rescue you. Start this year out by making the decision, if you've never done it, making the decision to follow Jesus, to give yourself to him, to repent and be baptized, to let him be your Lord. And then let this year be the first year of the rest of your life of living as a new creation, a child of God, a citizen of his kingdom. And maybe for you, responding to Jesus' call because you've already been rescued is saying, okay, I need to focus on rescuing other people. That needs to be the focus of my life. That's what I should focus on this year. That's the big thing. That should be the big thing for me. So how do we respond to that call? Well, it's by answering the question, what are you focused on? Well, what are the big things, the big one or two things in your life, the thing that really excites you, that you focus on? What is that? And for some of us, when we think about that, our answer is, okay, if I'm going to focus on rescuing people, then I need to change what I'm focused on, because I'm not focused on that at all. And for others of us, the answer to the question, how do I rescue people, is I'm already focused on that, but I need to focus more on that. So if you're in the first group and you say, I'm not really focused on that at all, then responding to Jesus' call to be someone who rescues other people like he did is saying, okay, I need to change my focus. My focus shouldn't be, and then you fill in the blank, whatever that thing is, that shouldn't be my focus. Maybe it can be part of my life, but it can't be my main focus. I'm going to have this year, I'm going to have the focus that Jesus had. I'm going to focus on rescuing other people. I'm going to give myself this year. And if it doesn't work this year, if at the end of it I'm like, yeah, I don't see that in the Bible anymore, that's not what God wants for me, that's not what I'm supposed to be about, okay, next year do something different. This year, I'm going to give myself to being someone who's focused on rescuing other people the way Jesus did. And if you answer the question, what am I focused on? You say, well, I'm kind of focus on rescuing people. I see a lot of my life in Jesus' life. Okay, I see that. Well, then the call for you is to focus more on that and answer the question, how can I be more focused on rescuing people this year than I was last year? Let me end, because this has all been theory. Let me end with just a couple of practical steps, things that we can put into our lives if we're going to be people who are focused on helping people know Jesus and rescuing people. One is, people who rescue others are people who have a close relationship with God. So we should be people who read the Bible and pray every day. People who are focused on rescuing people start with the people closest to them. So we should focus on reading the Bible with people in our family. And then we should always be asking ourselves, okay, who can I study with? Who's the person in my life who I should be asking to study with? Who's the person I should be praying for? Who should I be focused on rescuing? What does that look like for you? What does it look like for you to respond to Jesus' call to be rescued and to focus on rescuing others? What do you need to do? Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we will sing. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because as we look at what Jesus did as he came to rescue us, we see the beauty of your plan. We see the beauty of you sending your son to rescue us, to bring us into your kingdom, into your family, and make us your dearly beloved children. And you invite us to be rescued, God. And then you invite us to rescue other people. You invite us to be rescuers as well. So God, I pray that you would grip our hearts with the beauty of what it means to be rescued by you. And that you would grip our hearts with this call to dedicate ourselves, to give this year, to imitate Jesus, to rescue other people and help them know you. May we be focused on that more than anything else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.